So turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to finish up Mark 12 today. Mark 12. I'm taking forever to turn there. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to look at verses 38 and to the end of 12. So let's go ahead and read and then we'll pray. Mark chapter 13, verse 38. I tell the kids in my Awana teenager class, I tell them, because I was told this, it's a sin to make the Bible boring. Okay, so I'm just telling you that right now. When you read the Bible, it's a sin to read it like, oh, this is so boring, and to be like drudgery about it. I'm just telling you, it's a sin. Okay, that's what I was told in seminary. So keep that in mind. When you read the Bible, realize you're reading the Word of God. And this is something to be very excited about. This is God talking to us right now. All right, now that I said that, I have to read this so that way. So, but anyway, I'm going to try to just be real here. So Mark 13, verse 38. In his teaching, he was saying, this Jesus, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor and banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance's sake offer long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. All right, so he just rebuked the religious leaders, and now we're going to look at another story. Verse 41, and he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the grace that you've given us in Jesus Christ, so that, yes, even though it's a sin if we make your word boring or drudgery to read, Lord, that we have your grace covering us. And not just for that reason, Lord, but for many ways, we need that grace constantly, every moment. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. But Lord Jesus, I know we fall very short, but we desire very much for you to be glorified. And Lord, I want for everyone here to worship you more. And to be better at that, Lord. So we need your help. I need your help. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's look at this story again. Okay? Let's think about it. Jesus starts out, he says, beware. He says beware to the crowds, okay? He's crowds of people. It's the Passover, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of people standing around there, and he's speaking to them. And we see him in the first, what does he do? He starts rebuking the religious leaders to the crowds, thousands, hundreds, thousands of people there, rebuking the religious leaders, the ones that we're supposed to respect. The ones that are supposed to get the chief seats at in the synagogues and to get the respectful comments as people walk by. Jesus is rebuking them in front of everyone. And we see a few verses here, but we've got to go to the book of Matthew, because in the book of Matthew we see a lot more verses where Jesus is rebuking the religious leaders. So turn to Matthew 23. In Mark, we have 1, 2, 3 verses of rebuke against the religious leaders. In Matthew chapter 23, we have 36 verses of Jesus pounding, hammering. Ken, you probably enjoy how Jesus is hammering these religious leaders right now. But he is just scalding them, hammering them. And so look, Matthew 23, I'm not going to read all 36 verses, but I'm going to read a few to you. Go ahead and look at verse 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. We can start there. Jesus continues and says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." Alright. That's pretty harsh. We might not fully grasp how harsh that is in our culture, but it's pretty harsh. But it gets harsher. Verse 25. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup of the end of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And it goes on for another 8 verses of scolding. Anyway, we see Jesus saying over and over again, "Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites." And what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone that's like an actor. They act, okay? It's a pretender. It's a pretender. Maybe on the inside, they're thinking totally different than how they're acting. Maybe on the inside, they're very upset and hold a lot of bitterness towards you, but on the outside, they're smiling and they're just lavishing you with kind words and so kind to you, but inside they wish they could destroy you. That's a hypocrite. There's another word I found. Here's your word for your new word for the week. I don't know if you do this. I don't actually. I don't know why I said that. Dissembler. 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 Disassemble? No. Dissembler. One who conceals his opinions or dispositions under a false appearance. That's a dissembler. And anyway, that's also what a hypocrite is. We see one of the things that we see back in Mark, Jesus says to the religious leaders, "You devour widows' houses. You devour widows' houses." Like, what is he talking about? What does that mean? And just in studying, found out like the scribes were teachers of the law, but they were actually kind of poor. They would go around and teach, but they needed offerings. They needed help from people. They depended on people's hospitality to survive to go on. And anyway, the scribes were actually taking advantage of those with limited means, those who were poor, and using their position, their respected position, to come in and weasel in and take advantage of widows, take advantage of the poor, and take from them so that they would have a means to survive or even extra. But they would go and devour widows' houses. They would go and take advantage of widows and take from them for their own benefit. And so Jesus is very very upset, and so that's why he gives such a scolding rebuke of them. Anyway, we see Jesus giving this rebuke, and at the end of that rebuke, that in the book of Mark is the end of Jesus' public ministry. That's the last thing that he has to say to the crowds. And after that, at this point from now on in Mark, he's going to just be talking to his disciples. So he didn't really have much to say to the crowds of the religious leaders, or he didn't really, I mean, that's it. He's done. He's like, all right, that's it. I'm working on my disciples now, and I'm going to the cross. And that's what we see. That's what we see in Mark. And anyway, so after that, Jesus, he goes and sits down. And he observes people giving offerings. And there in the courtyard of the temple, there was actually 13 of these trumpet-like bronze or brass funnels, 13 of them, and you'd come by and drop your money in, and it would go into the treasury, or it would go somewhere. And so think about that. Think about that as Jesus was watching, these rich men would come with their bag of coins and hold them up over these brass trumpet funnels and drop these coins in while everyone's watching. And everyone would be like, wow, look at that guy. Look how many coins he just dropped in. Listen to that. And people would go up proud, like, oh, their big bags of coins, and dump them in slowly. Just for everyone to see how good of a worshiper of God they are, because they've offered so much money. And so it's just a big show. It's a big show. And then comes up that widow. She has two small coins. And the amount of these coins is so small. It's nothing. And she walks up and drops them in. Humbly, I'm sure. And Jesus calls his disciples over and says, you guys, come here. You got to see this. Look. And they're probably like, you know, they're just like everyone else. Like, wow, look at all these rich men pouring in all these coins, you know. And wow, Jesus, what did you see? How much did that guy drop in, Jesus? And he said, look at that widow right there. Look at her. She just gave more than any of them. She just gave more than all of them combined. She gave more than all of them. She only gave two tiny coins, two little copper coins. And I'm sure the disciples were perplexed. But think about this, you guys. It says, Jesus says, that was all that she had. She gave all that she had. She could have kept one of those coins. She could have kept one. She did not have to put both of them in there. She could have said, you know what? I need to feed myself. I need to provide for myself. I'm going to keep this one, and I'm going to put the other one in. I mean, we wouldn't say that she was wrong in doing that, would she? No. I wouldn't say that you were wrong if you didn't go to your bank account and take out all your money and put it in the offering plate. In fact, you shouldn't do that. You got to survive. but she did. Everything she had, boom, she put it in both coins. And so Jesus was just excited. He's like, come here, you guys, look at that. It's funny, you know, I was telling the kids in chapel the other day on Wednesday, and I said, you know what, you guys? Yeah, you might get 100% on your test. Yeah, you might win at capture the flag. But man, when you guys respect your teacher and we tell you to do something and you do it right away, man, that gets us excited. Or say you're on the playground and someone was just very mean to you, but you responded in love. That's awesome.
That is what gets me excited, you guys, when you do stuff like that. That is amazing. That is exciting. Go ahead and get your 100%. That's good. I'm glad you're doing good in your academics. But when you show character and you show love like that, that's what makes me excited, you guys. And they're kind of looking at me funny. And I was like, all right, I just wanted to tell you. But anyway, guys, so let's just consider a few points from this passage. Number one, and I'm looking at my notes here. Lord, you take what you want right here, right now, and you say it. But it's a little jumbled here. I told you guys, I'm trusting in the Lord this morning. But anyway, one point to take from this, and that we need to just flat out know, is that God owns it all. It's all His anyway. Turn to Psalm chapter 50. We'll go there. Psalm 50, verse 10. Psalm, Proverbs. Okay, there we go. Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 through 12. And it says in verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains." And so, you know, a lot of times we use that passage to say, you know, the Lord, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He's got all the provision, and He'll provide for you. But that's, if you look at the context, that's not what the passage is saying. What the passage is saying is the Lord has everything. It's all His. He doesn't need anything. So you don't have to give Him anything. He doesn't need it. Based on that passage, you guys, you don't need to give Him any money. He doesn't need it. You don't need to put a check in that offering plate. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it, you guys. He owns it all. It's all His. He doesn't need one cent from us. He owns it all. Everything you have is His. It's all His. And I think maybe some in the finance committee might be like, "Matt, what are you doing? Stop it." But that's what it says. All right, He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. Okay, so just get that straight right now. Get that straight in your head. Don't think you're doing Him any favors by putting that money in the plate. You're not. He doesn't need it. Alright, I think I'm going to be clear. Alright, so that was it for that point. God owns it all. Amen. Let that stick in your head. Alright, so the next point. We need to present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. When we present our gift to the Lord, we need to do that righteously. Okay? So how do you do that? Alright. Let's consider Abraham and Isaac. Consider Abraham and Isaac. You know the story. Some of you might not know the story. But God promised Abraham that his descendants would be the same number as the numbers of the stars in the sky. And that from his descendants, the whole earth would be blessed. There's a problem. Abraham and his wife Sarah couldn't have children. And next thing you know, they're 90, 100 years old, and they still don't have any children. And of course, Abraham's like, "Lord, I trust you, but how is this going to happen when we can't have children?" And that's kind of a very short summary of that whole story. But Abraham shows great faith, and he trusts in the Lord, that the Lord said this. He said that I'm going to have descendants that number the stars in the sky, and so I'll believe Him, I'll trust Him. So Abraham showed great faith. And anyway, I was watching this movie. My daughter calls it the Jesus movie. She said, "Can we watch Jesus movie? Can we watch Jesus movie?" But anyway, it's 10 short films of Bible stories. And so we were watching this story, I've read this story many times, but most of what I'm telling you is derived from this cartoon that I watched with my daughter. and anyway, so we watched this, and it was, I was just like, man, this little kids, but this is awesome. They did a great job of making of really showing what it is to worship the Lord. They just did an excellent job. Abraham would bring a sacrifice to the altar and lay down the lamb. And at first it was Ishmael, and Ishmael's like, why are we offering this lamb? This lamb is the best one. Why couldn't we get one of the sick ones? You know, and Abraham's like, no, son, we offer our best to the Lord. We offer the best lamb. And then Ishmael's like, well, do we always have to listen to the Lord? And Abraham's, yes, son, we always need to obey the Lord. And then that was contrasted with Isaac. And Isaac was just like a very loving son. Just like, man, what a wise little boy that was in that cartoon. And of course it was embellishing, but again, Abraham's teaching them, no, you bring your best to the Lord. You obey the Lord. And Abraham was doing that, and he was showing his son that example. But then the Lord comes to Abraham and tells him what? Take your son, your one and only son, and offer him, sacrifice your son to me. Anyway, Abraham said it to both of his boys, you offer your best and you obey. So what did Abraham do? He obeyed. And he took his son up to Mount Moriah, and he was going to kill his son. He had the knife raised. He was going to bring it down, but the Lord stopped him. And anyway, so there you go. How do you present an offering to the Lord righteously? You give him your best. You give him your best. You give him your obedience, and you bring him the best that you have to offer. All right? And you know what that is. And if you don't know, ask the Lord. He'll tell you. He'll show you. You might not like what he says, but you need to be obedient. You need to be obedient. And when you do it, you do it out of love. You do it out of love to him. You do it out of love, not out of duty. Amen. Not out of duty. So I'm going to tell you this. That's what we want from you guys. We want your hearts to be in love to him making that offering. And so that's what I pray for you too. If your heart is not that way, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Because if you think you're doing it out of duty, and you're doing him a favor, that's wrong. Or if you're doing that because you think, oh, I'm going to do this because then the Lord will bless me and he'll give me more. That's kind of manipulative, isn't it? When you place that or give that or whatever you do with whatever the Lord has blessed you with, it needs to be done out of a heart of love. Amen. And out of gratitude. And so, Lord, help us to have that heart. Amen. There's other examples of that. Cain and Abel, they both brought offerings to the Lord, but Abel's offering was pleasing to the Lord. Cain's wasn't. Why? Because the Lord saw their heart. And we see in Hebrews 11 that the Lord said that when Abel brought his offering, he brought it in faith. His heart was right before the Lord, but Cain's wasn't. And so we need to desire to have that heart. all right. So next point. Do not idolize money. All right? We can't idolize it. It's not ours to begin with anyway. And you're not going to take it with you. So We absolutely need to work on having the heart, money, materialistic things. To be honest, I think I might be the last one that should be up here preaching about not being materialistic. I've grown up in this culture. That is absolutely what this culture has pumped into us. You need this, you need that, that'll make you happy, that'll make you happy. You need this brand, you need that brand. Don't buy that brand, that's a cheap brand. You need the expensive brand. And everyone needs to know that you have that brand. Right? Because that's what's cool. But anyway, our society is just totally inundated with that mindset. And I didn't think I was going to tell you guys this, but I'm going to tell you. I praise God that He's delivered me from this idol I had. I like hiking, and there could be a mountain lion or a bear. So I want to have a nice big knife just in case. And so I was looking at knives. It's like, I want to have a nice knife that I can use just in case. And if I want to, I could even chop down a tree with it. And anyway, I found the knife. I'm like, this is the one. I've got to have this one. I see Clyde laughing because I already told him about this. And I was just like, I've got to have this one. Look at it. It's beautiful and it's perfect. It's like 11 inches long. And, but there's a problem. It's $350. But I was convinced that that was the knife I needed to have. And I started planning. What am I going to sell? What am I going to do to get this? And then you know what? The Lord woke me up. He slapped me in the face when we got our taxes back. And He's like, look at this, Matt. You got a lot more important things to be spending $350 on than on a knife that you can get for $20 at Walmart. And so, anyway, I confess that to you. We need to kind of confess those things to each other, you guys. We cannot be consumed by silly materialism and spending our money in unwise ways. Okay? We need to be wise. And thank you, Lord, for smacking me in the face. And the Lord will provide for what I told you. I know He will. But anyway, all right. So let's consider something else. Another point. We were looking at Jesus, and He was calling the religious leaders hypocrites. Those hypocrites. And they were pretty upset at that point, you guys. That topped the cake. They wanted Him gone. Oh yeah. They want Him done now. They're probably talking to like professional archers. Hey, you guys, I'll pay you $1,000. You can probably hide and get Him from a distance. You know, they're just whatever they can do to get Him, they're going to do it. I think I probably said that, but this really topped the cake. That was it. But in Matthew, back in Matthew, Jesus actually started out this way when He gave those 36 verses of rebuking them. He started out this way. He said, all right, you guys, the religious leaders, your teachers, what they teach you, listen to it. Do what they teach you, but do not do as they do. Do not do as their actions are. They're teaching you the Bible. They're teaching you the law, so do it. But don't follow them. And then He goes on from there. And anyway, just talking about this, you know, considering that story, those religious leaders, they were grinding their teeth. I mean, they were just, oh man, oh, if we can get Him right now, we would strangle Him. We would strangle Him. And, you know, we've got to look at our own hearts, you know, as we read those kinds of things and examine ourselves. Are we in a proud way saying, well, that's not me, I'm not a hypocrite? You know, who's going to call me a hypocrite? I'll tell them a thing or two, you know? Are we grinding our teeth, you know? Oh. We get called hypocrites as Christians at times, you know? But search our hearts, you know? I'll tell you this right now, you're a hypocrite. You have been a hypocrite in your life. You might have even been a hypocrite this morning. You've got this big smile on your face and you're acting like you're happy and holy. But really, you just You just went back to a sin that you've gone back to again and again and again and again, and you keep going back to it when no one else is around. But the Lord's there. He's watching you. He's watching you. But now you're in here and you're trying to show everyone how holy and what a good Christian you are. When inside you are not right with the Lord, you have not repented of your sin, and you have no intention of changing that sin in your life, when God tells you, you need to. You need to get that sin out of your life. It's destroying our relationship. It's destroying you. Get it out of your life. Don't let it stay. Amen. And no, we might not see it, but He does. And you're a hypocrite sitting in here this morning if you're acting like a good Christian and you know that you're not. You need to fix that. So now, are you grinding your teeth? Are you mad at me? Because there could be a problem. There could be a big problem. You could just be like those Pharisees. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be real. We want to have a real, genuine love and relationship and repentance. And we're not going to be perfect, you guys, so don't think I'm saying that. It might sound like that. We're not going to be. But man, we need to deal with sin. We need to deal with it.